Well, we're going to continue our series this morning on prevailing Christians, the marks of prevailing Christians, and we're going to be talking about exercise this morning. Don't I look like somebody that needs some exercise? Yes, indeed. Physical exercise. We all know what that is. Remember you had a class in school, phys ed? Some of us maybe those bits of our time. But I remember phys ed class. You have to put on the shorts and the gym shoes and the shirt and get out and get all sweaty, take a shower and go back to class. Yeah, physical exercise. We know that it's good for us. We know we feel better after we've got some exercise. You know? And I'm here as one to tell you, is even though we know it's good for us, that's not always what we do. Have you ever noticed that? We don't always get the kind of exercise that we should. Now, the standing joke, the humorous story about exercise, takes me back to the yard sales that we used to have. In the yard sales, people would be glad to donate their exercise equipment. Yeah. You know, I've donated my share. I've had probably any form of physical exercise you can get from a machine. I probably own the machine. But I've sold them all. You know why? Because they didn't work. I had the thing for 6 months and never used it. Had the thing for 6 months and never got any exercise off of it. And so what good is it? If you're not going to use it, it's not any good. Just owning that piece of exercise equipment is not going to get you into shape. Just owning it. It's not going to do you much good. Just because you paid for it and have it set up in your gymnasium at home, it's not going to work. You know that the Bible is like that. Have you ever noticed that? You can carry around a big Bible like this. And carrying around a big Bible like this is not going to make you any more godly than not carrying around a Bible like this. You have to use it. You have to get into it and use it. And I'm going to stand up here this morning and I'm going to say that in order for us to be a prevailing, conquering, overcoming, victorious, triumphant believer, we have to get this exercise, or it's not going to work. You know, the doctor says, you know, that you've got too much cholesterol, you're too overweight, or whatever, your blood pressure is too high, whatever the physical situation may be. And so you need to get some exercise. You need to walk a couple of miles a day, or whatever. And so we'll do it. Sure, yeah, we'll do it. We might not like it, but we'll do it. Back in Michigan in the wintertime, this time of year, people have to go to the mall, and they'll open the mall early, not the stores, but just the inside, so geezers can get in there and walk and get the exercise we need. And I remember walking around the mall many times with my father. You got to get the exercise. But more importantly, we need to look at this from a spiritual standpoint. Am I willing to do spiritually what I would do physically? The doctor told me, Mr. Jones, you're a heart attack ready to happen, waiting to happen. You know, and it's, really? Kind of shook me a little bit. Now, this was a couple of years ago. And so it shook me enough that I changed the way I ate. I changed my diet. I started getting more exercise. I did all of those things. You know why? Because I was afraid I was going to have a heart attack and die. Well, that fear of having a heart attack and dying motivated me physically to get the exercise. I think I need, maybe all of us need, some sort of a wake-up call spiritually that say, you're going to have a spiritual heart attack if you don't get into some kind of an exercise program, spiritually speaking. Do you understand what I mean? Yeah, physical death, that's a good motivation. But what about spiritually withering on the vine of Jesus Christ? Is that enough of a concern? Are you brave enough of that to get the exercise to change your diet of what you're putting into your head? To read the Bible more? You see, are we concerned that much? Well, being a prevailing, overcoming, victorious, triumphant, conquering believer is important because of what Duncan read for us. If you have your Bibles open, open them back up to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I want to just go back through this passage a minute, because what we read here, I think this should point out the dangers and the necessity for spiritual exercise, exercising ourselves to godliness because of what it says here. And if you looked around or read the newspapers, you know that you don't have to read it here to realize things are bad. The 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says this. Again, now let me read it. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter day times, some will depart from the faith, because they've given heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. These people will be speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own consciences seared with a hot iron. They will forbid people to marry and command them to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. That's the condition. The desperate times are going to come in the latter days. I think that's where we're at right now. I've heard people say it a long time ago. I remember hearing it when I was a teenager by some older people who are no longer alive, saying, Jesus is coming, it's close. Look at how bad things are getting. I'm a teenager and I'm thinking, this is bad? See, isn't that bad? But now I'm hearing more and more people say it. More and more people are saying that the situation in the world is getting so desperate, Jesus has to come back to straighten it out. I think that's exactly the time we're living in. So it isn't a stretch. I don't think we have to do a lot of debating or persuading that what Paul's writing about here to Timothy is the exact time that we're living in. People are departing from the faith more and more. A great friend, believing something that isn't true, and they depart from the faith. These things that are written here by Paul to Timothy, I've heard people tell me that these are the things that are happening to them. There are people telling the folks that have talked to me, oh, you can't be eating that kind of food. You can't be having that kind of a diet. You need to change what you eat. It's happening. It's these kind of conditions that teachers are instructed. Pastor teachers. Are instructed here, verse 6. Paul said, if you instruct the brother in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. That narrows it right down, doesn't it, to a pretty slim outline. Paul says, if you instruct the people about these things, you're going to be a good minister of Jesus Christ. I like the simple things. It's easier to remember. It's an important responsibility for me personally, and I need to take it seriously. And I do take it seriously. But the things that are taught are the things that are right, especially when it comes to the way we live and deal and treat each other. I don't want to give any misunderstanding or misrepresent myself, and I certainly don't want to misrepresent the Lord of the church, that He expects us to be pure and holy, following in His footsteps. And if there comes along something or some teaching that teaches contrary to that, I'm going to have to stand up and say no, or stop, or whoa, That's not right. Because these deceiving spirits, these false doctrines, can lead people away from the faith. So if someone is taken by one of these things that we talked about, I have to respond. That's my responsibility. It isn't just for others either. But I'm the first. I have to be warned first. I am warned first. Anybody that's a teacher in the congregation has to fall into this category. Where he says here in verse 7, very plainly, but refuse, reject profane old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. There it is. Refuse, reject, deny, shun, stay away from old wives' fables, myths, fairy tales, whatever term they go by. Stay away from the worldly wisdom that is cute and entertaining. Stay away from that. Rather, I need to exercise myself toward godliness. That is the goal of this spiritual exercise program that overcoming believers submit themselves to. You could go down to LA Fitness and join up to any one of a number of classes, whether it's riding bicycles, doing aerobics, kickboxing, dancing. I don't know what all they include. But if you sign up, they have a goal for the class that we're going to increase your cardiovascular endurance by a factor of 10 or whatever it might be. Or we're going to get into a weight training program and we're going to be able to increase the amount of weight I can lift by 50%. That's the goal I want. And so we said that we work for it, and as soon as we reach and attain that goal, here's another one I need to set. I want to be the guy that can lift the most weight in all the world. I'm going to join the Olympics and break the record, and nobody will be able to lift as much as I can. We keep pushing these goals. The thing about physical exercise is you get to an age where you can't do it anymore. You physically can't do it anymore. For whatever reason, your joints wear down, your muscles kind of go flubbery on you. You can't do it anymore. It's physically impossible to do some of these exercises. Jack LaLanne, bless his heart, the guy's still alive, still exercising. It's wonderful, but you know he's not doing it like he used to. You know why? Because he's getting older. You look at that man. He has really achieved something. But you know, one day it's all going to be taken away from him when they put him in a casket. It's going to be done. But the goal that Paul is giving Timothy here is exercise yourself rather toward godliness. Now I want to ask you a question. I asked my 87-year-old father-in-law. I said to Pete, when you get older, does it get any easier being obedient to Jesus? Does it get any easier fighting the flesh the older you get? And he said, no, it gets harder. Oh, I said, that's something to look forward to. You're never going to outgrow this need to exercise yourself toward godliness, nor will you ever lose the ability to exercise yourself toward godliness. John Taylor, dear friend who passed on a year or two back, 104 years old, living in that nursing home. He said, what good am I? What good am I? God ought to just take me. What good am I? I can't do anything. I said, you can pray, John. There's people that need you to pray for. And that changed his whole outlook. He finally had something to do. You see, we never, ever, ever outgrow this need to exercise ourselves in godliness. And that overcoming, prevailing Christian gets in that program and sticks with it. And doesn't let anything sidetrack them. Carol and I were out eating lunch yesterday, and there was this big piece of chocolate cake. It was the best looking chocolate cake I've seen in 2-3 days. We split it. You see, that's how easily sidetracked I am. I didn't eat it all, but we got it. The prevailing Christian is not easily sidetracked from this exercise program. So Paul is kind of contrasting here, exercising ourselves to godliness as opposed to giving in to worldly wisdom, old wives' tales, fables, foolishness of the world. But exercise yourself to godliness, he said. Don't give any weight to these things that are untrue. It's the exercise toward godliness that has real benefit. Look at verse 8. He said, bodily exercise profits a little. If there is some benefit to physical exercise, there's no doubt about it. I feel better when I exercise. I feel better when I go for a walk. But I have bought a new exercise machine. I'll have to confess that. But I'm using it. That's the difference between this and all the other ones I've got. I'm using this one. And I do feel better after I get it done. There is some profit, a little profit, to physical exercise. But Paul says there in verse 8, godliness is profitable for everything. Not only in this life, but it has the promise of life that is to come. That, Paul says, is a faithful saying. You can put your money there. You can bet your life on that. Godly exercise is profitable, not only now, but in the life to come. That's where the exercise program should be. Hebrews 5:14, we read this last week, we looked over it, but I thought we'd just review this, where the writer of Hebrews says, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercise to discern between good and evil. Here's another one of those goals of exercising. This idea of senses here means our judgment. Our judgment, our perception, how we understand things. We're told here that those who are mature have exercised their understanding, have exercised their judgment, their perception, to know the difference between what's good and what's evil. Our senses need to have this kind of exercising our judgment, so that I can make a determination between what's good and what's evil. And not only just deciding between the two, but choosing the right choice, making the wise choice, choosing what is good. It's not just enough to know, yeah, that's evil, this is good. You've got to choose what's good. That's where the real benefit is. These things need to be exercised. What we're involved in. We need to be able to discern. Exercise our judgment and our understanding, our perception, to know that, so that we can judge what we're involved in. What kind of activities am I involved in? Are these activities leading me away from faith? It's up to you. You decide. You discern this. Ask Jesus to come and help you with this exercise program. But we want to exercise our understanding so that we can determine what is right and what is wrong and choose what is right. Do it. What am I involved in? Is what I am involved in going to lead me from faith? And if it will, that needs to be avoided. What am I thinking about? Not that I'm asking you to read my mind. But I need to exercise my understanding, my perception, my judgment about what am I thinking about. Is what I'm thinking about what Paul calls these doctrine of deceiving spirits. Am I contemplating following one of those myths, one of those old fairy tales? Am I contemplating that? Am I ready to give my allegiance to something that doesn't last? Exercising our judgment to know what I'm about to say, the way what I'm going to talk about, what I'm going to express verbally to another individual, is this alive in hypocrisy because I have said Jesus Christ is my Lord? Am I talking like that all the time? I've been baptized. I've been washed. I've been dipped in the water of salvation. Are my lips reflecting that decision? Or do I like to cut people down? Do I like to make snide remarks? Do I like to make funny about somebody else? You see, we need to be exercised to know what is right and what is wrong and choose what is right. Am I going to be, by doing what I'm doing, thinking what I'm thinking, speaking the way I'm speaking, am I being a bad example for other people for what a follower of Jesus Christ ought to do? Am I? That's the question. That's where the exercise comes in. So, I was talking to Linda, we can all stand up, move the pews out of the way, make this into a gymnasium, and we'll do some exercises here. But the interesting thing about spiritual exercise is you don't need to be actively moving. It's all pretty much up here in the brain, and you can exercise that right now where you're at. Here's some ideas what this exercise program might include. Are you ready? I'll tell you if you promise not to throw anything at me, because these are not easy. I told my son last week. So I got this new exercise machine. Oh, cool, he said. He'd say that to me even if he didn't think it was. Oh, cool, he said. And then he sent me over to another website. Yeah, the exercise program website. My son thinks I'm as young as he is, apparently. Well, I looked at it, but I don't know if I'm going to visit it again. It looks too hard. These things are hard. What I'm going to mention here are hard, but listen. We might not be able to do things physically because we just don't have the ability physically, but I know that because God has given to us His Spirit, we have the ability to do this spiritual exercise program if we have the desire to do it. If the desire is not there, the ability isn't going to be there either. So, are you ready for this list of exercises? Let me give it to you. Go to somebody and that you're estranged from and be reconciled to them. Do what is necessary on your part to reconcile yourself with them. Go make peace. That's a good exercise. How well it might not work. It doesn't matter if it works or not. You go do it. Okay, here's another. You go seek forgiveness from somebody that you know you need to seek forgiveness from. You see, this offending business is a two-way street. I can offend you, but you can also offend me. And it doesn't matter really who does the offending. It matters who goes to whom. The ideal thing is that you see two believers met, meeting halfway in this reconciliation business. Seek forgiveness from someone that you've offended. All right? Exercise number three. You can do this anytime. You pray for someone who isn't kind to you. Or someone you don't like. That's not difficult to think of both people. Well, if I said to you, think of somebody that you don't like, you might not want to say their name, but they would come to mind immediately. I know that. And there is someone you don't like, but you know you should like them. But if you don't like them, you know who they are. Pray for those people. Man, I don't want to.
Don't feel like it?
Yeah. I don't feel like getting on that exercise machine I have over my house either, but you know what? The benefits of doing it are worth the problem. You go pray for somebody you don't like or isn't kind to you, and you're going to have a benefit no one can take away from you, and I cannot express it to you now. But if you refuse this exercise, you're not going to find that benefit. Here's another one. And this time of year it should be easier to do, but do something good for someone without being thanked for it. Do something good for someone without getting thanked. Wayne was telling us about somebody, they're trying to figure out who sent a whole bunch of books to one individual anonymously. Can't be thanked because nobody knows who to thank. Are you willing to do that kind of thing, or is it my pride tells me that I'm going to do this and they're going to thank me and I'm going to be a big person? Do it without being thanked. See how that exercise works on your heart. Because if you do your good deeds in secret, our Heavenly Father, who sees that in secret, will reward you. He will reward you. You don't have to worry about getting a reward from men. The last one I'm going to mention this morning. This exercise I know everybody can do. One way or the other, I know you can do this, but make time to read the Bible. Set aside time to read the Bible. Now, I've got favorite television programs I like to watch. You know, and I set aside a time to watch those stupid programs. Why can't I set time aside to read the Bible? Even if it's a half an hour or an hour. Why can't I set aside time to read the Bible? Why can't I do that? You see, it goes back to that desire thing. What do you have a desire for? Do you have a desire to be exercised in godliness? And then making time reading the Bible is going to be the easy thing to do. So these things, being reconciled, seeking forgiveness, praying for other people, doing something kind without being thanked, reading the Bible. This is just a small sample of the exercises we can get into. And I know that we can't all take up a physical exercise program, but we can all take this up. We can all do this. It's easy. Paul says to Timothy there in verse 11, these things command and teach. You catch that? Command the people to do these things and teach them how to do them. Well, I'm not going to go beyond that word command. It's there, you take it however you want to take it. But I'll help you do it when you decide to do it if you need help. Say, Pastor, I just don't understand how this works. I don't understand how to do it. I'll help you do it. But Paul says in verse 11, that's what I'm going to do this morning. I want to urge you to do it, to get into the program. I can't see your heart. I can't tell you that you're going to have a spiritual heart attack here. I can't tell you that. What I can tell you is that if you're not exercising yourself spiritually, that's one of the reasons why you're not a prevailing, overcoming, victorious Christian. You see, because all this other stuff comes in and knocks you right down. Exercising ourselves in godliness, a spiritual exercise, that has problems of life now and in the world to come. I want to see in the world to come. I want to be there myself. Is that promise worth exercising spiritually now for? Nobody can make that decision but you. You have to do it. And I want to urge you to make that decision.